Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
I'm Angie Fenton with Jeff Miller of VO2 Multisport, and this is Get Fit Louisville.
We were designed to run. Let us talk to you a little bit more about what you're trying to accomplish and how you can best get there. That's the thing. That's why VO2 is here.
Welcome to Get Fit Louisville. Whether it's biking, running, or swimming, Jeff and Angie can help you get the most out of each breath. Listen up, Louisville. It's time to get fit.
Oh, we are heading into a great weekend here, Jeff. What are you doing?
Memorial Day weekend. Actually, I've got to work. It's very busy for us.
I bet it is.
Around the shop. But it's a good weekend. It kind of signals the, I guess, maybe the start of summer.
Yep.
A lot of kids are getting out of school. Our shop's right. We're by Trinity. I saw some graduation stuff the other night, and kids are getting out of school earlier, and my daughter's out. Actually, she will be out of school tomorrow. It's her last day.
Yay.
She's in, you know, Catholic school. So, so kind of just is the kickoff of summer. You know, we're looking forward to it. It's a busy time for us. And it'll be good. So.
Well, I told you I'm doing a Dancing with the Stars-esque competition for the Cathedral of Assumption. They feed the homeless 365 days a year, and it's their Feed My Neighbor program. So I'm treating Monday like my New Year's,
right?
Because it's time. It is time to get into shape, and I want to, on June 28th, come out and dance and kick a little butt and
nice.
Be a little more rock hard.
Well, so. That's good. I actually went for our shop ride last night, which is something I don't get to do very often.
Oh.
We had about 15 or 20 show up, and it was actually nice to get back on the bike.
Oh, I bet.
When you work so much, you don't get a chance to get out. I always tell people I need a new hobby. I'm going to take up fishing or something of that nature just so I can get back in shape. So
right.
That's my goal. After last night, I was a little bit more motivated to kind of get back on the bike and get back out running. So I'm looking forward to it. So
good. Well, what's up around town this week?
Let's check the fitness activity calendar.
This week around town, we have a few things going on, but since it's Memorial Day, I think the calendar's a little empty, but we've got the Run for the Elevate 5K Road Run. The Glow Run is also going on. It begins at 9:30 p.m. On Saturday the 24th. Also on Saturday the 24th, to kind of pick your poison down at Otter Creek if you're a big trail runner, Head First Performance is putting on the Otter Creek Night Run, an 8-mile, 16-mile, 26-mile, and a 35-mile trail run. So if you don't have anything going on, I guess you could just run through the night, go the next morning, and then head to church the next day.
Oh,
so.
My.
And then on Monday, you have a Fort Lee 10K and 5K at Waterfront Park. So not a crazy busy schedule, but I think that's good. We do a lot early in the spring around here. It's time to really reflect on what Memorial Day is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Spend some time with your family and just enjoy one another. I think that'd be my advice for this weekend.
Absolutely. And it looks like it's going to be a gorgeous weather. So
yes, absolutely.
Enjoy that. Well, I think it's time to get to what is definitely on the minds of many people.
Topic of the week.
Doping in amateur sports. It's something that every time I think Lance Armstrong hits the news, you just start thinking about it yet again. But we're talking about amateur sports, and you shared a really interesting article about that. Just would love to know, I mean, why now?
Well, you know, I think it's obviously it's out there. It's not the white elephant in the room anymore. I don't believe. I think a lot of people, see it going on. I mean, you know, we watched it years ago with Mark McGuire and all the congressional hearings and the HGH and Jose Canseco and. There was a lot of guys that were doing, you know, performance enhancing drugs at the pro level. And I think that the doping in the amateur sports has become, actually a lot bigger and a lot more prevalent than what people think. It's very interesting because it's always a topic of conversation around the shop. It's very interesting with some of our customers that come in. So I think it's something to touch on and talk a little bit about and just kind of give some people some information of maybe what's going on with, you know, maybe what's actually being that you see or hear or, what's perceived is actually happening.
Talk about, I mean, in the article, this was an amateur and someone no one thought would cheat.
Mm-hmm.
But he was tested for 5 banned substances and many of which help produce more testosterone. Mm-hmm. So explain that and why is that illegal?
Well, you know, I think what you're looking at in the amateur sports and in the ranks is we're narcissistic people, let's just say.
Right.
You know, we always want to be better. We always, you know, we want to be good at something. We don't want to lose our edge. You know, where you have the, I think some of the biggest issues that we're seeing now is the testosterone replacement and more of what you would consider your masters style athlete. Somebody, you know, in their mid-30s and over is what they consider masters, which I don't consider that old, but that's kind of what they consider. And I don't want to, you know, Lance obviously kind of brought it more to the forefront, I think, because him being kind of a national hero for such a long time. And when it kind of all hit, it was just like, you know, people, there was a lot of people who denied that it happened, didn't want to believe that it happened, didn't want to believe that he would do it. Then a lot of people were right there saying, yes, you know, he was part of that. And so it jumped more into the, I think, forefront again. And I don't think doping in, you know, professional sports is going to go away. It's here. There's people out there figuring out ways to beat the testing systems. That's their job. You know, people that are you know, they're you know, looking for different banned substances, and they're coming up with new bans or new substances that will be banned years from now. I think where you see it in the amateur ranks, it's more of in the testosterone replacement arena, where, you know, men in their 40s can go to their doctor and, you know, say they're tired, they're fatigued, they can't lose weight, they don't have the strength they had before. You know, doctor's going to send them to get tested. If they're not within a certain level, they're going to start, you know, testosterone replacement.
What are your thoughts on that?
You know, it's tough. That's a good question, because I think anything can be taken to an extreme.
Sure.
I don't think it's monitored, and I don't think it's checked regularly enough. I don't agree. I don't want to say I don't agree with something that medically somebody might actually need. The biggest issue is we don't have a baseline. And because I wasn't tested when I was 18 years old or 19 or 20, you know, 25, when my testosterone's at its highest, I don't have a baseline to, you know, go into the physician and say, well, you know, I want to feel like I did when I was 25. Well, maybe I had abnormally high testosterone at 25, just like somebody who maybe has an abnormally high resting heart rate, or somebody who maybe abnormally has a abnormally high, you know, blood pressure. That might just be the norm for them. So when we don't have baselines, I think to base maybe getting our testosterone replaced, I think that lends to a lot of it becomes a guessing game for physicians at some point. They're supplying this, but they're just going by industry standards, you know, that have been set forth. So, you know, it's really interesting, because we're out there racing, whether you're on a bike, and I don't want this to be, you know, just attached to cyclists, because there's runners out there doing it, there's swimmers out there doing it, there's all types of different athletes out there that are doing this. I think that's one of the arenas that we have to definitely look at. I don't think there's a lot of long-term studies on it yet to really know the health effects of testosterone replacement, how it can have, it could have devastating consequences down the road. And maybe you do feel better, you know, at the end of the day. You know, you're out there racing for, I mean, what are you racing for? Most of us are amateurs. We're racing for a medal.
Right.
You know, we're not really getting a lot of money. Maybe a gift card somewhere. You know, it's more of that, going back to that whole narcissistic side. It's kind of like bragging rights. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit faster than somebody else. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my, you know, my thought process on it is, you know, where we go, where's the sport going to go? How prevalent is it going to be? I mean, I think it's a lot more prevalent than what people think, just based upon the conversations that we have with people in the shop, people that I know personally that are doing testosterone replacement. I think there's a lot more people doing it than people believe.
What about, I mean, in our locker rooms in high schools?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's, when they see the stuff going on at the next level, they want to be at that next level. They're kids, and that's where they want to be. There's not a kid that doesn't strap on a helmet, doesn't lace up a shoe, that doesn't want to be that next LeBron James.
Right.
Everybody wants that. I mean, what a wonderful life, or what it seems to be a wonderful life. You're getting paid millions to entertain people, you know. Is basically what you're getting paid for. So I think it's one of those things that it's there. I think it will. I don't think it's overly prevalent, but I think there's the, there's a potential for it to become, because it's trickle down. I mean, it's definitely a trickle down. I mean, they see it at the ranks. They're going to figure out how to Matt, you know, to basically do the same thing at a lower level. So it's there. It's I think it's always going to be there, but I don't know if it's as prevalent as it is in the what they would consider that you know, older athlete, because, well, we've just got more discretionary funds at that age. And I think that's where it becomes a bigger issue, because whether you're a triathlete or a cyclist, you know, or a runner, I mean, you know, anytime you're paying entry fees to a race, or you're riding expensive bikes, or, you know, most of the time when we're kind of getting into our mid 30s and 40s, we're a little bit more settled in our life. More, you know, we've kind of reached a place in our, you know, our career that we're making a little bit more money. And so we have a little bit more discretionary income to spend on things like that. Now, there's a lot of people that can't afford to go get, you know, hormone, or, you know, I guess maybe testosterone replacement. And I would say it's more prevalent in men, obviously, than it would be in women in sports. And but both of those sports are more dominated by men, obviously, if you look at cycling, just triathletes in general. But it's also occurring, you know, most triathletes are big runners, too. So it's going to trickle out to your 5Ks and your 10Ks and your marathons and your ultramarathons. So when you have a little bit more discretionary income and you want to feel young again, and you don't want to get beat by the 25-year-old kid, you know, on a bike or in a 5K run race, I mean, you might start looking at other options.
When I competed in bodybuilding, I was stunned at how open people were about it. I was told by someone who is a very reputable judge on that circuit that if I wanted to, because I had some physique, hereditary, I guess, benefits, that I can't control how long my lats are. But, you know, certain things like that, and then certain things that I wish were better, but had said that two things. I needed breast implants and I needed steroids if I wanted to compete. Well, not, I mean, at least the one, you know, no thanks to steroids, the breast implants. I mean, it was pretty offensive, but the truth was, I mean, I was as flat as a cardboard box, you know, and was up against these women, some of whom were completely natural, but then there were the ones who would talk about, I mean, and the steroids were so sophisticated. But that, I mean, it just stunned me to see how open people were to talk about that.
You know, I think it's, I think before, you know, before a lot of the stuff that came out with like Lance, I think more people shun it now, and they have a very, usually people do not straddle the fence in this issue. They're either okay with it or they're not okay with it. And, you know, there, you know, there's people out there that believe that if you get caught doing anything whatsoever, then, you know, you need to be banned for life and you should never get to allow to, you know, to put on a pair of cycling shoes again or race. You know, you can go ride, but you're not going to, you're not going to race anymore. And there are some things that kind of play into that. You know, some of the new things out, like in the cycling community, are like Strava. Strava is a, you know, a word that means strive. And basically what it is you have your GPS on your bike. You go for segments. There's specific segments in communities that people have set up to see who's what they call the KOM, King of the Mountain or Queen of the Mountain type of thing. So it's whoever can ride those sections of the course the fastest. And it might be a 1 mile stretch, it might be a 5 mile stretch, it might be a 2 mile climb, whatever it might be. So that becomes a, you know, a bragging rights thing. And it's actually kind of, you know, where you have this, well, going back to kind of that, that narcissism of kind of who we are as a society, we want to be the best at something. So it's actually, you know, you start to see those little things like that, like, oh, I want to be the king of the mountain on this section of the road. Well, how am I going to become the king of the mountain on this section of the road? Now, some people go out and wait for a tailwind day where the wind's blowing at your back and you ride that section of the road, you might ride a little bit faster. You know, or people are getting into the more and more where you start to see the, you know, the testosterone type replacement. And then, you know, they're, when you see someone who's, let's say, in their, you know, mid-50s and they're just, they're crushing it off the front of a ride, or they're running 5K times that they've never run before, or that, you know, they're running faster than a 22-year-old college kid that runs cross country. You know, naturally, we should be in a decline state of our life where we're declining. We're not getting really faster. We're just trying to maintain and not jump off the, you know, the cliff like a lemming type of thing.
Right. So we don't want that.
But when you start to see that, I think it throws a little question out there. I mean, what are we doing? What's going on? How are they getting so much faster and so much better? And even at this age, how are they maintaining at that level? Mm-hmm. Do we have more free time to train more? Sure, some of us do. But I think there are substances out there. I mean, whether it's, and there's a lot of different things. It's not just the testosterone. There's, any kind of amphetamines or anything like that to get the heart rate jacked up. So there's a lot of stuff that people are doing out there and trying to find ways to beat the system. You go into, like a GNC store and walk in there and say, they basically have almost every type of pill out there for something, that you can start taking, especially like you can get into bodybuilding or even in CrossFit type of competitions. So it's not just in, I think it's in any amateur sport. In any amateur sport competition, I think there's probably a situation where you're seeing more and more people. I guess what you would consider doping.
What's your recommendation then to help put a stop to it or at least curb it?
That's the thing. It's like, how do you really curb, anything of that magnitude? Because it's probably much more prevalent wherever, right, than we're ever going to realize. And you say, well, let's do more testing. Let's, someone who qualifies for Kona, an age grouper that qualifies for Kona, let's test them. Let's find out. Or someone who wins a local cycling event, and they win a plaque and a gift card and a bragging rights. Let's test them. Well, there are random testing, that does go on. It's random, but that's the issue. I mean, it's expensive. Unless the promoters of the events build the cost in to the competition. And so if you raise the fee on a 5K race from $25 to $50, you're going to get a lot less per participants. And even if that extra money's going to test for, illegal doping,
right,
people aren't going to run it. People aren't going to go do it. They're not going to show up because they're not going to pay the extra money. So it becomes very, very hard to trace that and track it. So how do you curb it? I think until they know the true long-term effects of what some of this stuff's going to do, I think you're not going to curb it. And I don't know if you ever really will curb it, because I think we're always going to be looking for the next best thing. I mean, how can we make ourselves a little faster? How can we beat the person next to us? How can we win bragging rights? And that's never going to work. That's the spirit of competition. Unfortunately, we take the spirit of competition, overboard a lot. Instead of just having fun with it and being competitive about it, we're finding ways to cheat to be better than the person next to us. And that's really the wrong way to go about it.
Have you ever taken anything even legal over the counter?
Oh, I mean, I think when I was lifting a lot, mm-hmm, I mean, I would always take, something that helped, stimulate, mm-hmm, higher heart rates. You can, push more weight and all that kind of fun stuff. But that's it. I mean, yeah, for the most part, I think, I did a lot of that when I was in my 20s.
Right.
But I think as I got older, I'm like, that's probably not the best thing. There's some stuff out there I've taken, probably like 5 or 6 years ago called like Jacked 3D or something. Oh, when your skin tingles after you take it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a good thing. It's like if you feel
it's frightening.
Yes. When you feel that strange, and yeah, it's like, I think it does alter your mood some, mm-hmm, too. It's like, that's probably not a really good idea. Because I look at my kids, I'm thinking, well, I don't want them to grow up without a dad. I don't want to have a heart attack in here, yeah, like lifting weights or doing something. So I think that's the other thing that you have to be cautious of, is when you do things like that, to maybe even excessive amounts of caffeine to get your heart, pumping blood faster and carrying more oxygen through your system right before a race. Mm-hmm. And then you go into this, maybe a 5K where it's a dead out sprint for 3 miles. Your heart can only do so much.
Right.
If you're asking it to do more than what it can do, then, what's it going to do? Is it going to shut down on you? Is something bad going to? So I think you have to be very careful when you start to look at those things, and start to do those type of things to gain a competitive edge, because the outcome could be fatal, realistically.
I took hydroxycut. I had a trainer who insisted that that's something I had to do. And, it was like clockwork. I would have an immediate spike, mm-hmm, and then you just crash hard, right, and it absolutely messed with my mood swings. And then I think ultimately my metabolism, it, right, took me a while to get back.
Right.
But I have anxiety, and it runs in the family. Mm-hmm. And so now that I'm older, mm-hmm, a cup of coffee in the morning, right, is enough stimulant,
sure,
for me.
Right.
Cause then I feel like I'm going to have a heart attack.
Right. Well, I think that's the biggest thing. You know, going back just like with the testosterone replacement, where it becomes very easy to. I mean, if you're 40 years old and you're male, it doesn't take anything to go get any. I mean, testosterone.
Right.
I mean, whether it be the cream or whether it be a shot, you know, it doesn't take a lot because they're everywhere. And I don't want to knock on any particular place that's out there, but
right.
they're there, and it's usually under the I don't want to say disguise of the weight loss, but it's usually the weight loss type of body image clinics. That you can go and do a lot of this stuff. And there's physicians on staff there, and they're not doing anything wrong.
Right.
They're trying to help you because they're listening to what you're telling them. Now, you can go in and lie to them all day long. They're not going to know that. They're going to send you for some testing. They're going to get some blood work results back. And they're going to, they're going to supplement that testosterone at that point in time for you. So it's not that hard or that difficult for that to take place. Society's driven by, money. And when it's $200-$300 a month to get testosterone injections or something of that nature, then it can lend itself to maybe even physicians being unethical or these places being unethical, maybe giving you more than what they should give you. So
it's disheartening though when you know that there's an issue and just wonder how far down in terms of age does it really bleed into
and I think that's the thing. It's like, how far down the system does it go? Why, seriously, as amateurs, are people doing this? I mean, they're sometimes just hard work is, it's when you see someone who's just all, there are people that are just all natural, and they look like they were cut out of a block of granite sometimes, and they're just great athletes. They got high VO2 maxes. They're just phenomenal athletes. You're like, gosh, I wish I could be that good. They probably have more issues, in their own personal life that you don't even know about, that you don't even want.
Right.
And I think that's the argument. It's like we look at one little segment and go, oh, I wish I were that fast of a runner or that fast of a cyclist. But there's so much more that goes along with that. And I think, that's one of the things we kind of take off the table. We just look at one piece of their life and one piece of accomplishment that they're doing. And we think that's great because we want to be that. We want to make it to Kona. We want to qualify for Boston. We want to go win Masters National Men Time Trial Championships, on our bike. But outside of that, at the end of the day, none of us are getting paid to do it. And that's what's so amazing to me. It's like we're not getting paid really to do this. And why would we put our body through that? And it really boils down to bragging rights. That's what it boils down to at the end of the day.
It's a sad commentary on our society when it boils down to narcissism.
It is. That's the funny thing. I don't want to say funny because that's not the right word, but that's really what it boils down to. It's like we're not happy with ourselves or happy with what we can accomplish. You might be one of the best fathers or best mothers in the world. The person next to you might be one of the best runners. For some reason, you will not see how good of a parent you are, but you look at what they have and what you want to have. And sometimes I think that's the whole thing, is like that's where it all starts, is that jealousy, envy, narcissistic type of mentality. And I don't know if you'll ever get away from that. That's the biggest thing. I don't know if you'll ever be able to get away from that in the sport itself. But it's out there. Doping's out there in the amateur ranks. I think it runs rampant. Testing would be the way to prevent it, or the fear of being tested. But the issue is there has to be consistency in the testing. The only way you're going to get more testing is you're going to have to pay higher fees, because the race promoters can't afford it. They can't afford to just go test somebody. Those tests run anywhere from $300 to $500 a test to have all that, that blood work, peeing in the cup and have all the testing done. So, it's a little bit bigger than what people think. And it's there. I don't think it's going anywhere. So that's kind of how I feel about it.
Well, if you want to share your thoughts, you can tweet Jeff at VO2 Multisport or me, Angie Fenton. Both of those, of course, are on Twitter. Every week you bring us something new. I can't wait to see what you have in store for us today.
Product Spotlight.
This week, one of the products that we have here is Innovate. Innovate makes mostly running shoes, trail shoes, but they've actually become really, really big in the CrossFit arena. A lot of people come in the store looking for them. We've had a lot of success with them. Love their product. Good quality. What they're known for in the CrossFit world, they try to keep you more, they want a lower heel toe drop. So they want you more neutral, almost like you're standing barefoot. I'm not real big on being barefoot while I'm lifting around
right.
any weights.
No way.
Doing anything because I don't want to lose a toe.
No.
But they have the little chevron stripes on the back of them. It tells you the, and that's the millimeters of drop between the heel and the toe. So I have a shoe here today that has two chevrons. So that means that's 6 millimeters of drop between the heel and the toe. Now, most CrossFit people that buy the shoes end up getting one chevron or that has no chevrons, which means it's a zero drop. So basically, it's like being all natural. Has a little bit of stability and support for people doing CrossFit, but just a great shoe. Comes with the nice thing I like about it. It does come with what they call like, more of like a bungee cord style
right.
lace. So a quick lace versus lacing it up and tying it. So it
does. Do you sell those bungee cord?
We actually do have the quick laces, but the nice thing about these, they actually come with the laces. But yeah, the bungee cord laces are for people who just don't like tying their shoes up and are lazy.
My dog ate mine.
Yes. No. Actually, they're really nice. They became really popular. Bungee cord laces became really popular
right.
in the triathlon world because people, they transition, they just slip their shoe on real quick.
That's
and don't
nice.
Worry about tying it. But yeah, Innovate, great product, lightweight, good stability, nice platform. You know, very easy to cinch it down and tighten it up a little bit. They've got more colors than any shoe company I have ever seen, and they're one of the only shoe companies that I know that have really, really tackled the CrossFit arena. So
they're
you know,
sharp.
If you're really wanting to get into the you know the CrossFit and find some different shoes, mm-hmm. maybe than what you've got on now, I would suggest looking at Innovate most definitely.
No, I think they're fantastic. I'll be in to buy some new
there you go.
Bungee
there you go.
Laces too.
I don't know why dogs. Actually, my dog ate mine the other day as well.
I'm you cannot sure. fix them.
No, once the bungees are chewed on, they're chewed
it's
on,
over.
They're gone. So,
gotta love dogs.
Yes.
Well, how about we talk about another hot topic?
Yeah.
Let's dish.
No one thought it would happen, but it finally did. The Big Four Bridge is not only open, but you can actually get off of it on either side of the river. I think we need some background audience clapping noise.
That's huge. It's exciting. I mean,
it is.
It's great. It's going to be. I have actually. I mean, it just opened. Was it Wednesday? I think of this past week.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't had the chance to go down and actually walk to the other side. Yeah. But I think you know. I'm sure the businesses on the Indiana side that are over there were just ecstatic when they finally approved it, finally did the ribbon cutting, opened the bridge up, allowed, you know, so they can go from A to B, you know, from Louisville to Indiana to Kentucky, Kentucky to Indiana. So it's big. I'm excited about it.
I was just talking to someone today. I did TV in Indiana, and the gentleman sells cars, and he was saying that he has a client who bought a car from him but has never come back for he offered free service because she refuses to cross the bridge. And not because of like panic attack mm-hmm. fear, but she just doesn't go to Indiana.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing how many people don't want to cross the river. They just don't.
I mean, it's crazy to me.
It's now obviously they definitely don't want to cross the river now because of all the construction that's going
sure.
on with
yeah.
all the bridges.
That's frustrating.
It's an absolute nightmare down there. But it is nice that we have that loop because it's really going to tie, you know, Indiana and Louisville together. You can walk it. You can ride across it. It is a little crowded. I would highly suggest if you're riding to be patient, take your time because it is loaded with people.
Is it?
The times I've been down there, it's very crowded and it's not as easy to get across the bridge. So if you're going to be riding, I would suggest going in maybe some of the off hours. Don't go at your like busiest core type hours because it's usually pretty busy with people up there.
What are your thoughts once we were dealing with, you know, the violence with youths mm-hmm. and I think that a couple of days ago or maybe it was last week there were two gentlemen who were younger mm-hmm. But they were caught with drugs there. I mean, you're not hearing it like we did that horrible, horrible day mm-hmm. when all that happened. Mm-hmm. But how do you think people are feeling safety-wise?
You know, I think I think that the beauty, there's a good and bad to it. Americans tend to forget things pretty quickly.
Yeah.
There's so much news and mm-hmm. so many things going on. It's like out of sight, out of mind. If it's not right there on the front page every day, we kind of just, it drifts away and goes back and we just don't think about it as much. So I think, you know, people are going to go down. Maybe you're not going to have as many people in the evenings go down
sure.
and walking across it, you know, at night. They're going to be at home type of thing. But I think for the most part, during your daylight hours, and now it stays daylight till almost 9 o'clock. You know, when we get to summer, it's going to be like almost 9:30. So, I think it's, you know, I think people are okay with it. I really do. I think it'll all kind of, you know, come to an end, and you know, they're going to put more patrol down there, more cameras. So
hope so.
I think that'll kind of curb a lot of that.
And it's exciting to see what other businesses are going to pop up.
Oh yeah, I think it's huge. I think there's just, I mean, I've been to a lot of really cool cities that do a lot of neat things, and for a Midwestern, you know, town the size of Louisville, we have a lot of really neat stuff going on. And it's exciting. I mean, when you're a small business owner and you see all these different things going on, it's just, it kind of plays into a healthier lifestyle. I mean, the big four pedestrian bridge. I mean, when you talk about that, it's like, oh, it's walking, it's riding, it's doing all that. And so it plays into, if you're a shop owner like me, it plays into that healthy lifestyle, which helps, you know. And then, but you have all the other, you know, I think there's that big four burger place that's right on the other side. They interviewed him. He was very excited when it, you know, finally opened, yeah, which would be great for him. And you want anybody who's just out there doing it on their own, you want them to be successful. Yeah. You don't want to see them fail, because, you know, failure is no fun for anybody, because you could be the next person as a small business owner,
right,
that it all falls apart on. So you always, you know, you always pray and wish goodwill for the other small businesses out there really trying. So I think it's going to be good. I think Indiana will see a big growth.
I hope so.
I really do. And I'm looking forward to it for him, because I'm excited to actually go down and just kind of walk across and see,
yeah,
you know, get to the other side. I mean, I've looked over a ton of time before while they had the gate up.
Yeah.
So I might actually try to go down there tonight.
Well, now that I live there, I'm on a campaign to get them to stop calling it the sunny side of Louisville and
right,
let people come over and discover what Southern Indiana has to offer,
right,
all in of itself. They both need each other,
right,
but it's like the bastard. City.
It's
not
the
okay.
It's the strangest thing in the world. And it's like, it's like they've got a lot of really cool restaurants over there, and cool, the shopping's great, and
the parks.
It's great over there. And it's, you know, and I mean, I live in Louisville and love Louisville. However, I'm not afraid. I mean, it's like I'm not afraid to go across the other side of the bridge and enjoy what they have over there, because they're coming over here spending money. We're going over there spending,
exactly,
money. It's reciprocal, you know. But it is funny. There are a lot of people that refuse to cross.
Well, tell me this, how what's the length of the walking bridge, do you know?
I guess if you just look at the bridge itself, I want to say it's 0.3 miles just on top of,
okay,
the bridge. I think that's, but I don't know like the ramp going up, and
okay,
I don't know how far it is off the other side.
Okay, we'll find that out for you next week, or if one of you find it, please tweet us and
let us know.
I can't believe I didn't think of that. But that's the, I talked to David Karam, who heads up the Waterfront Corporation, mm-hmm, this was several months ago. And I mean, I have four dogs. You have dogs. And I thanked him, mm-hmm, for banning dogs on the bridge.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, especially my dog, Zeke, who uses a wheelchair, when, right, people don't pick up their stuff,
yeah,
he's like a magnet. So, I mean, he rolls right in it, just like somebody's bike tires.
Right.
It's unfortunate, because I would love nothing more than,
right,
to take them on walks there. But darn dog owners who just maybe shouldn't have dogs.
Well, and that's, you say that, but it's very true. It's like it only takes a few people to ruin it for everybody.
And
else.
They did.
And they did.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that even to the people who let their dogs off leash on the trails,
oh,
in Cherokee and Seneca, and it becomes a nightmare for mountain bikers or runners. I mean, first of all, you don't know if the dog's going to chase you. You don't know if the dog's going to get out of your way. I've known people that have wrecked because of dogs on the trail and broken collarbones. I mean, it's just, you know, that's the frustrating thing, but it was a good thing that they unfortunately they banned it, you know, on the bridge, but it needed to be done. So.
Speaking of dogs off leash, something happens. Like, I don't know if it's an alter ego or what, but I become a crazy woman if your dog is off leash and they come charging at mine.
Right.
Like, I'm no violence to animals. I want to go after the,
right,
owner. Because, you know, it's not the animal's fault. They're,
right,
doing what is, oh, innate to them. But you can just cause, just so,
yeah,
much havoc.
Yeah, and it definitely, I think, in a city, you know, like we have with all the different, you know, the trail systems and the bike lanes and the,
yes,
the pedestrian bridges and the waterfront park. And I think that's one of the things we have to take into consideration. We need to be considerate of other people and not be so, like we talked earlier, self-absorbed and narcissistic about,
yes,
you know, ourselves and what we like.
You, exactly,
know, there are other people out there that are trying to enjoy that as well.
Or else you want that just fantastic cat to come out of nowhere and take your dogs.
Yes, very true.
That hero cat. Well, enjoy Memorial Day.
Absolutely, enjoy Memorial Day.
Okay, thanks for listening. I'm Angie Fenton with Jeff Miller of VO2 Multisport, which you can check out online at www.vo2-multisport.com. Get fit, Louisville.